Welcome to Old School, New School, a video game podcast with your hosts, Jordan, Austin, and Ryan.
This is gonna be one heck of an episode. I am here joined today by Mr. Austin and a new guest. Kyle, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm just fascinated by whatever's happening with Austin right here. It's an audio medium and you're covering your mouth with a mask.
So it's still putting it in your mouth. I know I'm not speaking.
Anyway, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Kyle. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic.
That's good. So, what type of games have you played growing up?
Jeez, no warm up. We're just gonna get right into it.
Yeah, I'm just getting straight into it.
I've played everything. I started back in the day on the Atari.
The Atari.
Yeah, way back when. Little Space Invaders, Centipede. And then moved on to Nintendo, like everyone else in my generation did.
All right.
And then on to the Sega Genesis, and then the PlayStation 2, and then went to the Xbox 360, Xbox One, and that's where I've stopped. I haven't moved on yet.
I know I'm not speaking today, but I do have questions about this part of your story, because I was...
Being an old person, part of my story.
Yes. I'm an old person as well.
Right.
All right, so which version of the Atari...
I think it was the 2600, but okay. I'm not sure. Right, I was a young one.
I'm asking that. I don't know which one. Okay. Which anyway. Then you go to the NES.
Yes.
And then it's Genesis.
Yeah.
So no Sega Master System.
No Sega Master System.
Super Nintendo.
No Super Nintendo.
So straight to Genesis.
Yeah.
And then where?
PlayStation.
Yeah. Okay.
The original.
Right, sure. Yeah. All right. That's enough for me.
Ryan, were you trying to find something for Seaman again?
Have you ever had a Dreamcast?
I have not had a Dreamcast.
Well, there goes our dreams.
They sure as shit weren't cast.
Oh my god, Austin. What? You were just... See, we got... It's like spices. We got...
He's just chaotic neutral over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, chaotic neutral spice.
I'd say the first thing that comes to mind.
And what a mind.
The inner machinations of my mind are machinations. An enigma.
The inner imaginations of my mind is an enigma. That's a classic one. I actually haven't heard that one in a while. So, any specific games that you actually liked from that childhood?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, all of them. I was playing them all the time. I was a short dude who was very skinny at the time. So I didn't qualify for many sports. So there was a lot of video gaming. But yeah, I played, you know, all the NBA games and I think it was Nintendo, it was Double Dribble.
Oh.
That was my go-to game. The little corner three that always went in every single time. So you'd get a final score of like 300 to 280 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, ice hockey on I think the original Nintendo. Super Mario Brothers, of course. Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
You know, the standards. I think we had the Olympic running pad for the Olympic Games. So that was like this pad. It was like basically a controller that was like large enough to step on. So instead of doing A and B with your thumbs, you would do them with your legs like you were running in the sprinting.
Ah.
So we had that. I think my mom really liked Arkanoid, so I think we had the little spinny paddle that came with that. Do you know what Arkanoid is?
No, actually.
One of the ones where it's like just the paddles down the bottom and you're bouncing the ball off of the cubes, you know.
Oh, okay.
So we had that, and then, yeah, my mom was a huge Tetris player, big-time Tetris player.
Oh, really?
So there was a lot of Tetris. Basically, evenings, whereas my dad would go downstairs and watch really bad movies, and I would go upstairs in my mom's room, which is where the Nintendo was, and we would play Nintendo games instead of doing homework.
Things never change.
And then a lot of Madden. Tecmo Bowl, of course. I can't skip over Tecmo Bowl. Madden, all the NBA, like I said, all the NBA games. But first-person shooters, when those started coming around, the original Doom, actually the original Wolfenstein 3D. You know, I think Red Faction was a big one.
Yeah,
I think that was a PlayStation game.
I was trying to figure out which one was like the first-person shooter.
I'm pretty sure that was Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Doom was the one that kind of made it go mainstream.
And then Call of Duty made it just...
Call of Duty was way after.
Yeah.
Call of Duty, I think my first Call of Duty was Call of Duty 2.
Oh.
I think.
Call of Duty Black Ops 2?
No, just 2.
Just 2?
Yeah, like COD 2.
Oh, really?
I think. I didn't play it when it was like a World War II game. It was the first, maybe it was the first Modern Warfare.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't really like the World War II games. Like,
yeah,
like
so.
So I played like the laser game. So Red Faction was like a laser game.
Yeah.
Like a rail gun that could shoot through walls.
What are some current games that you play?
I am currently playing Madden, which I'm not very good at. And then that's pretty much it. I've been playing a little bit of FIFA.
Oh.
I used to play a lot of, what was that? You played it too. What was it?
Titanfall 2.
But then some hacker got in and took down their servers. And I can't remember the name of the company, but whoever makes them were like, well, this game's so old anyway, we're not going to fix it.
So
you can't play that game anymore, at least as of like a year ago.
So for, I actually have some news on that.
Ooh.
I logged in recently to Titanfall 2, and I started to play it a little bit. The servers are a little laggy, but they're not that bad.
They're still running?
Yeah, they're still running.
Oh, okay.
So I played it. It was definitely not bad. Leveled up the Marner.
Was anybody else playing it?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people were playing it.
All right.
But
I'll plug that back in. I love that game.
Yeah, some people got were removed from the game because of inactivity or something else, and they got replaced with bots. So.
Oh, okay. But that company went on. They do what, Apex Legends, I think.
Yeah, they do like Apex Legends
like
now.
Fortnite.
And they're they are more focusing on the creation of Titanfall 3.
That's what I keep hearing, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen.
What do you mean the poor man's version of Fortnite? Fortnite is free.
I know.
How do you get more poor than that?
You're so poor you decide to play Apex Legends instead.
So
I mean, I don't play Fortnite. I don't play Apex. I don't Battleground or whatever.
Yeah.
BSG or something like that? Or BG? Yeah. I don't know what it is.
So
none of those games I play.
Yeah, I gave them a shot a couple times. I was like,
they're very cartoony, and I just don't like it.
I play Fortnite, and the building aspect of 1 minute you're on the ground fighting and shooting someone, next minute they're in the sky building.
Right.
And I'm sitting there like, why did they add this?
Yeah.
I know a lot. I'm not probably going to get a lot of backlash for that, but why?
I mean, a lot of people seem to like it, so.
And then Apex is no better.
Yeah.
Because now you have special abilities, but you can't build.
Oh, you know what I'm playing? My kiddo got, or Santa Claus brought, Mario Brothers Wonder for Nintendo Switch, which is like a classic platformer. Looks very much like the original, but you can turn into an elephant.
What?
Yeah, it's a weird game, very strange game. I've only played a couple of levels so far, but it's just as fun as the original Mario Brothers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. I gotta look into that and find my old Switch.
You got a Switch?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
I have a Switch, PC, Xbox. Used to have a PlayStation, not anymore.
Okay. Which Xbox you got?
The newest version.
The Series, whatever it is.
Yeah, Series X.
Yeah. I haven't played that yet.
It's good. It does sound like a jet airliner, but it's good.
Really?
Yes. You turn it on for the first time.
No, I haven't. I got a mortgage, so I haven't bought the new generation of consoles yet.
You could have just left it as I have a mortgage.
Now I have an actual question, and I know it's sort of game related, but not like video game wise.
Okay.
It's more like board game.
Yeah.
When was the first time you got into D&D?
Here at Lehigh.
What?
Yeah, I never played it before that. This would have been, what, like 2014, 2015 or whatever. We had a former staff member had got it in his head of like, hey, I think the kids would really enjoy playing D&D. And he had played it like once or twice, and Stuart had played it when he was a kid. So they asked me if I wanted to play. I said, no, I don't know anything about it. So they would play it, and we at the time the school was basically one classroom. So they would play in like in the corner, and I'd be in the other corner with some other kids, and you know, just listening in. And it seemed like a lot of fun. And then I think the next quarter, maybe the quarter after that, both Stuart and the other teacher couldn't do it for whatever reason, for scheduling purposes. So they asked me if I would jump in and do it. So first time I ever played D&D, I was the DM.
Nice.
And that was, what, 8, 10 years ago, whatever?
And then years down the line, he killed me with a boulder.
I've killed you several times.
Twice.
I've sent you to new dimensions. I've hurt you many, 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 many times.
Yeah.
Emotionally, he's... physically, spiritually, it's been great.
I was about to say emotionally.
Uh-oh, our non-speaking.
I have a question. To tie this all together, is there like a computerized D&D game?
Yes, there's a new one that just came out like in the fall called Baldur's Gate 3.
Okay, I've heard of Baldur's Gate.
But Baldur's Gate 3 is this new thing that is like D&D. Like it is fully it. I haven't played it yet. My computer isn't strong enough to run it.
Sure.
So I haven't yet to play it. But there's the role-playing aspect is huge. It's just from everything I've read about it, everything I've seen in the videos and stuff, it is you're playing D&D.
Huh. That sounds cool.
And it is, from my understanding, like the 5th edition rules. So it's all the spells from D&D. It's everything.
Oh.
It is D&D.
Cool.
It's wizard time, motherfucker. Fuckers.
Whoa.
Fire.
This is a G-rated podcast.
My children are going to listen to this. My students. Oh, wait. You guys are my students.
Since when was this? We've sworn before on here.
And we've judged you every time.
Yeah.
No, this is your first time here.
But I listen and judge. I listen and judge.
He judges it from the safety of his own home.
You should feel my contempt through the air.
It's like the mafia with Austin.
I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm like, oh no.
You feel Kyle's judgment?
Oh, no. Oh, no, he's watched the new episode of the podcast.
So,
oh, no.
for everyone that is, like, new to what and doesn't know what we're talking about with D&D, D&D is Dungeons & Dragons. It's an old, like, tabletop game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a tabletop game you can play with a bunch of your buddies. Depending on how big it is, there will probably be more than one DM, I think?
Nope, one DM usually.
Only one DM?
One DM, and usually between 4 and 6 players.
Oh, okay.
I think we've had up to 9 players, maybe even more than that with some of Dom's campaigns.
Yeah.
Those were pretty big.
Oh, yeah.
But generally, you want to keep it between like 4 and 6 people.
Yeah.
Plus the DM.
So the school has been playing it for a while. And
about a decade, yeah.
I didn't get into it until it was back. I know it was back in 2018 I started here. Mm-hmm. It was like during the summer.
Okay.
And I got into LARPing first.
Yep.
And then I got into D&D.
Okay. Kind of the backwards route.
Yeah, the backwards route. Because originally I was like, oh, D&D seems like a lot of fun, but it happens during LARPing, so I don't know what's going on there. So I made this whole character in my head, and I thought I was always going to be this brute force man.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're a Goliath in your current campaign.
Well, yeah, I'm a Goliath in my current campaign.
And a Dragonborn in the other one.
And a Dragonborn in the other one, but I thought I was going to keep playing as him. No, I did switch it up here and there.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How are you liking... So, for those of you who don't know, this quarter, Jordan and I have done a 1v1 or one-on-one or one-person campaign for D&D, which is the first time I've done that.
First time I've ever done that,
how's
too.
How's that going? Are you enjoying it?
I'm really enjoying it.
Me too, as DM. I'm definitely enjoying it. A lot less chaotic, neutral people in the room to throw off the story. Austin.
One time, I was playing D&D with Jordan. He put a pipe bomb in my car.
I was doing a...
Wait, you had a car and a pipe bomb in D&D? What are you playing?
So you know how Dom's campaign was like a customized one?
Yeah.
I made a customized one, and it was... You know Cyberpunk?
Yeah. Oh, I played Cyberpunk, too. I played a ton of that this summer.
Cyberpunk is what I put into it.
Nice.
And he went with Nomad.
Okay.
Where he scours the Badlands, right, and he's trying to get back into Night City doing gigs.
Okay.
As he went for that, I rolled the dice to see if a random encounter happens, because it was with Eugene too.
Mm-hmm.
And Eugene was asleep in his apartment, and he went to his apartment.
So Jordan rolls, and he says something along the lines of, "Oh, you're gonna have fun with this." And I can read Jordan. All right, so I'm like, "Jordan, did you put a bomb in my car?" He's like,
"How did you know?
How did you know?"
So so he has a little bobblehead in his car.
Uh-huh.
When it blows up, chunks of a person flies everywhere, and the bobblehead goes crashing through the window and lands at his feet.
I also got a free rocket launcher arm.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he found, I think he found like a, didn't you find like a dead corpse?
No, it was from the guy Is who there blew a live up corpse? In my car.
Oh, yeah. So I rolled again to see if he got any items from the encounter.
Mm-hmm.
He got the bobblehead. That was one that he already had. But the second one, since I rolled 100, I was like, oh, I got to give him something good now. So I'm like, let me give him.
So he gave me an arm.
So let me give him a cybernetic. Mm-hmm. And most of the cybernetics in Cyberpunk are really overpowered.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Sand Devastan slows down time. And you have blades that can come out of your arms, or
I love that one.
Yeah, mantis blades. Yeah. Fire. A wire comes out of your arm, yeah. Or you can have just straight up strong arms.
Mm-hmm. Or you can have gorilla arms. They call them.
Yes. Or you can have a grenade launcher in your arm. So that was another one, and I'm like, I can give him a legendary grenade launcher. So I gave him a legendary grenade launcher that does too much damage.
Just what you want to give Austin.
Yes. And I
have some dude's arm.
Nice.
But he's still yet to install the cybernetic. It's his first implant.
So let me ask you, what are you playing for, like, the rules on this? Are you playing just the D&D rules, or?
I'm playing normal, like, somewhat standard rules where he can do whatever he wants. It's an open world.
Yeah.
But there will be consequences as much as I can.
But in terms of, like, the character sheet, are you using, like, the D&D character skills and all that? Okay.
We're still going to use, like, all the D&D character
sheets. There might be. I have a feeling, I think I remember this, but there might actually be a Cyberpunk, like tabletop role-playing game.
Oh, really?
Like, with its own set of rules.
Huh.
I could be wrong, but I think I remember seeing that.
I'll look into that a little bit more when I get home.
Yeah.
So that's the little campaign I'm doing with Eugene and Austin. Eugene never has time, so it's mainly just Austin.
So now that this has officially turned into the D&D episode, Kyle.
Yes, sir.
What is your favorite experience you've had during D&D?
I've had a lot of them. One I didn't play with you guys. Sorry. It was I was playing with some friends of mine, and we'd been playing online for 2 years or 2.5 years. I think we started right after the pandemic started. And there were the four of us, one guy's down in Virginia, two of them are in Maine, and then me here in Vermont.
Huh.
And as we got to the end, we were like level 18 or something like that. As we got to the end, we all met up in Connecticut to play in person. And the DM, the guy who was in Virginia, like made a whole model of the final battle map in 3D, like a 3D model of it.
And
out of foam core and stuff like that. And he painted all these minis. And so we got to play the final battle. And at one point, we were fighting Tiamat, who is the goddess of the evil dragons. And at some point, I don't remember how it happened, but we were like in a different realm. And there was like this pit, this like vortex from like the material plane that went down to some other plane. And Tiamat was down there and was fighting, I think the other three the other two players, and my guy was back up, stuck in the like up on top of the vortex, and I dove into it and landed with my sword into Tiamat's back.
He rolled,
it was awesome. And I, you know, rolled really well to make it hit, and I was able to save my buddies, and we saved the day.
Wow! Yeah. So it was basically like me with the Wraith.
Yes,
but
yeah,
just
yeah.
without the teleportation.
Yeah, there's a whole vortex involved.
Yeah,
and it was, you know, the goddess of the evil dragons.
All right, yeah, all right,
but yeah,
yeah,
similar,
I like it.
But similar.
All right,
yeah,
that all right.
But just getting together like in person with these guys who I've never even met the DM in person before. This was the first time I met him, so it was just awesome to do that. And we played, I think, from like 10 a.m. to like 11 p.m.
Wow,
like, on one day, yeah. We got rented an Airbnb and just did it up.
Dang, all right. You know what? I got to do that sometime.
It was fun.
Well, Jordan, what about you? What's your favorite D&D experience?
You know what? I think my favorite D&D experience was... This was sort of D&D, but not at the same time. But it was something else.
Let me guess.
No, let him answer.
It was the quest. Remember that game?
Oh no.
So we had someone on the episode not recently, but in the last season, and her name was Ashley.
Oh no.
So hold on, let me give a little warm up real quick. This was a game called Quest, which is not the same as D&D. It's similar.
Same.
It's another tabletop
D&D
role-playing
for
game.
Babies.
But it's a lot, yeah, it's a lot simpler. There's all you have is a D20.
Yeah.
And it's just a real simple game to play. And I can't remember why we tried it. I think there was somebody who had never played before and we were just giving it
a
shot.
It was Eugene that never played before.
Okay. And yeah,
oh,
it's,
actually,
but
it was a lot more people than that.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was a lot more people,
yeah.
But
yeah. Okay, so anyway, it is. It's kind of like baby D&D.
So there was Kyle made the encounter where we came across a village, and the village had all sorts of problems. We had to solve those problems.
Well, you caused a lot of the problems too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we also caused a lot of the problems. I was Mr. Bon Voyage. I had a whole oh God. So, I had a whole backpack full of dynamite. And
oh, right. I remember that now.
Yeah, I had a backpack full of dynamite.
Didn't you blow your arm off once?
I think I did. But
oh, yeah, you caught someone's stick of dynamite midair.
But I had a whole backpack full of dynamite, and it was, I think it was Eugene's first time playing, too.
It might have been.
And this is when he started to come to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting there, and I think it was like the head honcho guy, that he walks through the door, and Ashley's character just
So,
what is it?
At this point, our party was faced with a little challenge, you see? So we met like a little girl in the forest. Definitely not just some evil thing in disguise. Definitely not. Turns out, who would know, the mysterious little girl we meet in the woods is the big bad evil guy. So, or at least works for them. So, we end up going back to the village because, you know, we had doubts that maybe the village were the bad guys. Not everyone got that information, however. So, literally everyone, except for Ashley's character, or, you know, we were all chilling in the house. Ashley's character knocks on the door. The guy opens it, immediately gets his head chopped off.
By the barbarian.
By the barbarian.
And she was an orc, too.
So,
or half-orc or something like that.
And you tell me you have the mind of a senile goldfish.
I remember funny things.
Okay, so I'll know that for next time. So, yeah, that's basically how that encounter went. That's why I love that encounter so much. It's what made me got more hooked into D&D. I know it was separate from D&D, but it made me get more hooked into
D&D. It was a role-playing game.
Yeah.
I remember the village being on fire, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That
she
memory in my head.
Turned everyone alive in the village into orphans.
Yep.
And for you, Mr. Austin, what was your favorite encounter? You asked both of us.
Can we go to Ryan?
No. You will go.
Ryan's not speaking today.
Ryan's butted in twice now.
It's your imagination.
Just the wind.
Right, yeah, Ryan doesn't exist.
The machinations of your mind.
Just the wind.
There's too many. There's way too many. So I'll just go over a few, I guess. My first campaign ever was
which if you want to see what Austin looked like when he did his first campaign ever. Look at our Facebook page from a few weeks ago. Anyway, go ahead.
So essentially what happened, I don't even remember what happens, but there was a guy who was like a living puppet. And I just remember for no reason just yelling out "Free the puppets." I started a puppet revolution.
I think this was
the living
when,
puppet. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think this was when it might have been.
Oh,
when,
also the ending to that campaign. I wasn't there for it. They decided to kill the big bad evil people who were just two children.
Yeah, I think that might have been Devin's.
Oh,
no,
okay.
That was Dom's.
It was Dom's.
Oh, Dom's. Okay. It was either Devin's or Dom's.
Let me ask you. You guys have been playing for years. When are you going to run a campaign here at the school?
Never.
I was planning on running one.
All right.
But, whenever I can.
Okay. Maybe fourth quarter.
Let's see. Oh yeah, I remember another one. It was set back in the Wild West.
That was Devin's.
Yeah, that was definitely Devin's.
So, for some reason, there were demons and stuff, you know, just skinwalkers, the usual. So, for some reason, there was this elevator. Basically, we went down there, you know, it was normal. You know, yada yada yada. We kill everyone, light everything on fire. You know, the usual for a D&D campaign. Then we get into the elevator. Oh, should I mention we were working for Satan?
I remember that. Okay.
So. Oh God. We get into the elevator. And I'm like, you know what? I'm in a silly, goofy mood. I'm going to press the buttons. So I end up pressing the buttons. Someone gets annoyed, and they cut my hands off. Later down the line of that campaign, they replaced them with cougar paws. And then they sewed my arms to my elbow. My hands to my elbow.
Like a T-Rex?
Like, I you know, I guess. Now that I think about it, yes. They turned me into a dinosaur. But... Oh, God.
There have been a assortment of campaigns over these last 10 years.
Yeah.
From... Squid Game type schools to working for Satan to.
Well, it was more Danganronpa, considering that's exactly
what
it was.
That is.
I didn't know what it was either.
You know, then working for Satan. We were on different planets at one point, I remember.
Also, still working for Satan.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we've had a lot of regular just D&D games too.
Yeah.
We've worked for Satan a lot.
I mean, it's only been twice, but it's weird. If I had a nickel for every time I've worked with Satan, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice. Isn't that the same one?
Yes, it's the same one you used this morning.
No.
On the way here. If I had a nickel for every time.
No, that's not what I'm getting at here.
He knows he repeats his jokes.
I'm very unoriginal. But, in that campaign, we were just bored in hell. How to make things better. By better, I mean worse for the people in hell, but you know what I mean.
Obviously.
So, I don't know why, but at one point I come up with the idea, hey, why don't we just make a Mickey Mouse of hell? And so little Satan was born.
When Jen hears this, she will come into school that same day.
Little Satan!
She'll have little Satan earrings.
Oh my. Does she have them?
I don't know. She's got the earrings for everything
else. She's going to.
She might buy them. Oh God, we're giving her ideas. We're adding more fuel to the fire.
Yep.
It's gonna be funny.
All right, I want to say my favorite D&D campaign.
Yeah, I was hoping you.
I'm feeling left out over here.
You left yourself out of this whole episode.
We only have three microphones. That's why.
Yet it's been very interesting them from
to
Jordan.
Sit back and watch it all unfold as well. My favorite campaign, I think the three of you were part of it. I'm guessing my character was Travis, would be my assumption.
Let me guess, saxophone.
Yeah, it was the smooth jazz as my weapon campaign. That was amazing to me.
It was
so much fun.
It was really fun.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
You gonna tell the story?
Yeah, what is the smooth jazz saxophone? So for people who didn't play the game.
Sure, sure. So I guess Travis was really into smooth jazz or something, but the idea was everybody hated smooth jazz, so that was how I would torture people by playing smooth jazz. And I had it on my phone, so I would just constantly play this same horrible song.
The office place room was under attack in hell. So we all started fighting back. And then Travis, the evil genius he is, pulled out a saxophone and started playing.
Yep.
The person who was closest to the window. We were on the 666th floor of the building because, of course, all buildings in hell have to have 666 floors. He couldn't take it anymore.
He jumped out the window.
He made a man commit suicide by playing jazz.
He wasn't the first.
That's actually how we went to hell in the first place.
I'm going to try and find the song while you guys wrap up the episode. Jordan, I'll hand you back the mic. Doing a great job, buddy.
So, what I think during that same campaign, I made another appearance, and it was Jacktooth.
Oh, no.
I do remember Jacktooth. Yep. Jacktooth.
So, for everyone that doesn't know, Jacktooth originally popped up.
Which is everyone?
Yes. Jacktooth originally popped up in Devin's Western campaign. And he was just a lunatic. He was the part of the loons.
The two campaigns are connected.
Yeah.
In fact, they took place after each other. But, yeah.
So, I may have been short. But, oh, God, I was a lunatic. I would just do terrible things to people. I would even be a jerk to straight up some people. But it was all in the game. I wasn't actually a jerk to anyone. Maybe sometimes you. But I made the first character, which was Jacktooth. And I made the second character, which is Jacktooth Jr.
Jack 2, as we called him.
His nickname was JTR.
I wish we still.
No, he's playing, no.
I don't know if this is the right one. It's also not really playing. But...
Yeah, it plays well enough. All
right, that was plenty of it. It was more than enough, baby.
Let me find a window.
Any second of it is more than enough.
I wish we still had the character sheet graveyard.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, they cleaned it up one day, and they got rid of all the character sheets. We used to have a bulletin board hanging in our... That's the one.
Yeah.
Kenny G.
We used to have a bulletin board in the back of the classroom that had every character who died had to go up into the graveyard.
Wow, yeah. I never knew that.
Yeah. I mean, we can remake it, but just put the names up there since,
I wouldn't be able to do that. My memory's not good enough for that.
Only the ones we know and care about.
I'll depend on your little goldfish mind.
Wow, oh, this has been one heck of an episode.
Oh, thanks, bud.
Glad to have you on the podcast, talking about D&D, talking about different games you played, talking about your favorite games that you do play today.
I gotta say, to bring it all the way around, you guys talked last episode about Toe Jam and Earl. It's the reason I'm here. I want to make sure that it gets defended. That was a great game. You just by watching videos, you don't get a sense of it. You got to actually sit there and feel the anxiety and the pressure of having some joggers or some lawnmower people hunt you down as you're looking to find the exit up to the next level, and trying to find those pieces. And the anxiety of my older brother coming down the stairs, knowing that there was no way in hell he was going to let me and my buddy keep playing. And so we had been playing for hours and hours and hours, and my brother was just going to come in and turn it off. It didn't matter how far along we were. We played that. I have probably dedicated at least 60 to 70 hours of my life playing that game.
Wow.
And never beat it. Because every time, the placement of you're trying to find your rocket ship. That's the goal of the game.
Yeah.
Every level, you're trying to find this piece of your rocket ship. And every time the game loads, it's a completely generated map. It's not the same map every time.
So it's always something
new. It's always something new. And sometimes you'll find three or four pieces in the first three or four maps, and then you wouldn't find really anything for more and more levels. You just had to kind of keep going. So never, ever beat that game. I've never gotten Toe Jam and Earl to go back home. It's a sad, sad thing.
I got a couple questions for Kyle.
Kyle?
Yes, sir.
This is our one-on-one. did you ever play the 7-Up game with the little red dot?
Like in the classroom 7-Up game?
No, the video game.
No, I have never played the 7-Up game. Oh, okay. I've heard of it.
It was so great.
Okay.
So I just wondered.
What system was it on?
Nintendo.
Either the NES or...
7-Up, no, I do not remember that.
It's either the NES or maybe the Sega Master System, but I think it was an NES. All right,
again, Sega Master System.
I know. Never had experience with it. I did. I had one. There were some good games.
I do not remember that as a game.
It was great. How about the Domino's Pizza one with the Noid?
I don't remember playing it, but I remember its existence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, I only did advertisements for other themed video games. 7-Up, Domino's.
Oh, 7-Up like the soda?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, the little red dot?
Yeah.
He was a character.
I had no idea.
It was like a side-scrolling. Okay. He was the character that jumped around, and I don't, maybe
you
shot
just played
people.
Games that came in the mail, basically?
I have no idea why I got that game, but I loved it.
All right.
Yeah, it was a super fun game. That's probably it. Okay.
Good one-on-one.
Yeah. The best we've ever had, possibly, Kyle. All right, now I feel like I need another hard-hitting question for Kyle.
Go deep.
Let's see. Go deep. What's your favorite all-time video game?
I gotta go with, Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah.
Or Double Dribble, probably. Gotcha. Those are the ones I would say I probably played the most.
Yeah.
And were the most fun. Like Madden, I've always loved playing Madden, but it's also like, there was a period there where I couldn't play Madden. It was just too complicated.
Gotcha.
And I've gotten back into it, but I'm not like not good at it. I throw a lot of interceptions. Tecmo Bowl was just straight up fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I played it recently. You guys know Terry. I played it. Terry's got. You guys know Terry, right? Was he a former teacher? And he has like, you know, one of those old school things that you could play like all the games. Yeah. And so we played.
Oh, you mean the one that says it has 700 on it?
Yeah, like
but
that one.
But it's only 200,
and
as we have discovered.
And Tecmo Bowl was one of them. And we played game after game after game. Yeah. You could just keep playing that all night. It was great.
Cool. Awesome.
Wow.
You can say goodbye to everybody,
Jordan. All right. Great for having everyone on the show.
Wow.
Great for having everyone listening to the torturous smooth jazz.
No.
I hope you all enjoy your day. This is me, Austin, Ryan, and Kyle signing off.
Thank you, guys.
Have a nice and lovely day. Thank you for listening.
Well, excuse.
Whoa. Austin's right. We got to do our sign off. Are we ready?
Yep.
Well, excuse me, princess.
Kill me.